Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me and special guests as we travel the biblical road together, learn more about God's Word, and enhance our relationship with Jesus Christ.
The taller the skyscraper, the deeper the foundation.
That's true. That's why tall skyscrapers that don't have a deep foundation fall.
They fall.
Which leads us into Prodigal Son.
Here we go.
Welcome back, everybody. We have had an amazing discussion before we started this podcast about how, I'm going to give you the analogy Thurston gave, that the taller the skyscraper, the deeper the foundation. And how that when those foundations are not deep, that skyscraper will fall. It'll fail. And that leads us to the Prodigal Son, which if you are with us, this is part two. We hope you got to listen to part one. We hope you enjoyed it. We are in the 15th chapter of Luke. Now, to catch us back up to speed, Thurston, we got, what did we get through? Two verses maybe in the 15th chapter last time?
And I think we got through verse 14.
Okay, we got through verse 14. So maybe we got through three or four. So maybe it's more than I thought. And then we got into looking at Romans, the second chapter,
right,
and talking about those who follow unrighteousness will have certain things that follow in their life.
Can we start with verse 17 today? Because what I like to talk about is God's viewpoint of all of this.
Okay. So we've looked at it from the viewpoint of what sin leads you to. Now we're going to look at God's viewpoint on
somebody repenting.
Somebody
how
repenting.
God looks at it.
Okay. So let's go ahead and say, do you care if I read the 15th and 16th verse to give a background here? If people just jumped in and they didn't listen to part one.
Go ahead.
15th verse, this is speaking of the prodigal son, the parable Jesus taught, says, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sat him into his fields to feed swine." Now, to give a little background here, the Jewish people didn't have anything to do with cloven-hoofed animals and swine being one. They thought they were filthy. They were unclean. So for him to be feeding the swine in a Jewish parable, that had to be a low point in his life. This would be like us attributing ourselves to the most heathenistic people, animal, group, whatever, that you're out there in the summer of love, as we talked about in part one. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to that first part. "And he would have fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." So he's been hungry. He's feeding an unclean animal to the Jewish people. And now it's saying that he would have even eaten the trough food of that unclean animal. This is how low this man. So you think about those of you out there that have found yourself in sin. You may feel like you're like the prodigal son.
Yeah.
You're wallering around. That's a southern word. Wallering around in the muck and the mire in sin. And you're empty. You're starving. Not just physically, but spiritually you're starving. So now let's look at what takes place in the 17th verse.
Yeah.
"And when he came to himself," so in a spiritual context, what does "and he came to himself" mean, Thurston?
Well, he woke up.
Okay, go a little bit deeper than that for
me. In other words, Satan had deceived him. Man, you can do better than this. You take your money, you're going to enjoy it, you're going to live. And when he hits rock bottom, he wakes up like Jonah did in the whale's belly. He said, "From the belly of hell cried I." He's in that whale belly, and he's crying. He realized that, you know, I'm wrong. It's like when Nathan confronted David, he said, Nathan said, "You're the man."
Oh, David was fired up, ready to.
Yeah,
to kill the guy who had.
And Nathan said, "You're the man." Yeah. So that's when these men came to themselves. When they had that spiritual awakening, and his spiritual awakening was, man, I had it pretty good at Dad's house.
Yeah, I had it good at Dad's house, and I decided I would be deceived by sin. And now I'm over here eating with unclean things, right?
Right, right.
So it continues to say, he said, after he came to himself, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." Now, I'm going to read that like it's being taught in this parable, because a lot of times when we read biblical verses, we don't put the correct stress on words. So if we were to read this the way he'd say, How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And the reason I put that stress on it is because in the writing of this parable, following that verse is an exclamation point. So this man was not just stating it, he was crying out that I perish with hunger, almost like what a fool I am. And I know I'm adding two here.
No, but really, that's what he's saying.
Yes, what a fool I am to be out here starving when my father's servants have enough bread to eat and even enough that they have leftovers. Mm-hmm. So continue on to the 18th verse. You got any comments?
18:19.
I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
I'm going to tell you what Bobby Bowden said one time. You know who Bobby Bowden is? Okay. You know, when he was coach at Florida State, he had a history of taking in troubled youths.
Mm-hmm.
And I read this in one of his books, and I thought it was really, really good. And they asked him, how could he help troubled youth? Because, I mean, he just took them in. You know, he'd make great players, but every once in a while he'd lose a one.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But he was getting players that was great, but they got in a lot of trouble. And they asked Bobby Bowden what made some kids great and some you couldn't reach. He said the great ones will be accountable for their faults.
Mm-hmm.
The ones you can't reach, it's always somebody else's fault.
It's all the victim mentality, as we call it in today's society.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see that running rampant in the culture that we have today.
Yeah, everywhere.
No responsibility for your actions. Yeah, it's always
somebody else's fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, the prodigal son here, to relate to your analogy with what you were saying about Coach Bowden, okay, the prodigal son couldn't have said, well, it's my dad's fault because he gave me all the money. He gave me what I wanted. It's his fault that I'm living in the muck and the mire. When he came to himself, who did he realize the blame fell to?
Himself.
He realized it fell to him, and that's where he says, number one, I'm going to get myself up and I'm going to go back home.
Yeah.
If you're out there today and you are lost, you don't know Christ as your Savior, or if you are backslidden, which means you know Christ as your Savior and you have turned away from the church, listen to what I'm trying to tell you here. Return home.
Yes.
Return home to the Father, because when you return home to the Father, we're going to see the reaction. Now, a lot of us, secularly, we think that if we were in this situation, we returned home to the Father, they might chastise us or chew us out or scold us or whatever it may be. But this man realized if he was going to get out of the muck, if he was going to get out of the sin and everything that sin had to come with it, you know, he had paid this price to want everything. If he was going to rescue himself from this, he was going to have to return home. Well, spiritually, Thurston, when we find ourselves in sin, what is returning home to us spiritually?
Just repent and repent.
Go back to the Father.
Go back to God.
Go back
to God.
Right. So, go ahead.
You know, and everybody, we really need to read verse 20.
Okay.
Because it's the key to this whole thing is verse 20 is the key.
Okay. And so in 18:19, he goes back to his father's and he says, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
Yeah.
So in verse 20, it says, and he arose. So 18:19 is what he says he's going to do.
Right.
He's come to his senses. Verse 20 says this is his action on it. He didn't just think about it. He's doing it.
Right.
He's putting it into work. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, I want to pause right there, because if you're in sin, if you're backslidden or you're lost, this applies to you. This is what action you need to take, and this is the response you can expect.
Mm-hmm.
And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. Now I'm going to let Thurston tell you his famous line from that. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. All right, what have you told me about this verse in the Bible here, Thurston?
Well, it's the only place in the Bible where God runs.
God runs. He was going to say that.
Well, it's when a stinking fornicating son wants to come back home.
And that shows us the love God has for us.
Yeah.
You know, Isaiah, I've attributed this before, but Isaiah said that our greatest righteousness is but a filthy rag. The best we can be is nothing but dirtiness and nastiness. But yet, God has compassion on us and our unrighteousness, that when we draw to Him, what does the Bible tell us? Draw nigh unto God and what?
He'll draw nigh unto you.
He'll draw nigh unto you. So right here, this servant, pardon me, this son is running back just wanting to be a servant. But when the Father sees him, he has the first thing, compassion on him. And this says when he was a great way off. Now,
so what this tells me is, David, the Father seen him a way off.
What does that tell you the Father was doing?
Well, it tells me that the second that son said, I'm going back to my Father, the Father forgave him.
Yes.
Right then.
I would even venture to say, and maybe this builds a good correlation, when the son left, the Father was watching for him. Even though the son left, the Father was standing watch.
There's so much in this right here. Here's one of the key things about this right here is the first thing it says about God right here, he said, he saw him a great way off. In other words, he seen him when that boy said, man, I don't need to be living like this.
I'm eating with the hogs.
I'm wasting my life. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do that. He said the Father saw him, and his Father saw him. And what was God's first reaction?
Had compassion.
Compassion. Now listen to me. You talk to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and they'll say, well, I sinned, and I messed up, and I sinned, and I messed up. God's viewpoint is he has compassion. Now listen, I'm going to say something. This is important, David. Why does people need to know this? Why do people need to know this? They may be one guy or one girl listening. It's never messed up.
There's not any out there, but okay. I'm building you to say, I got you.
You get what I'm saying. Yeah. But I'm saying 99.999% of the people have really messed up at some time in their life.
Yep. We've all been there.
They've all messed up. Well, if you understand this, when this guy messed up, God had compassion on him. When God saw him stinking, he'd been with the prostitutes and stinking,
life
feeding
the
hogs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his life is just complete zero. He hit rock bottom, no friends, no money, no food.
Women didn't want him now.
No. The money was gone.
The money was gone.
So here he is, and he's, he's rock bottom. And when God sees him, God has compassion. If a person understood this in their life, somebody may be watching and they really blew it. I mean, they really blew it. Whatever they did, they really blew it. Well, I can promise you by the word of God, when God sees that person, Jesus, the Son of God, is teaching this.
Mm-hmm.
When God sees that person that has really, really, really blew it, said it moves God's heart with compassion upon that person.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you made an important point there. Who is teaching this story? This is this is not just something that I'm telling everybody to make you feel better.
Right.
The Word was made flesh, and the Word is teaching this story.
You're right.
So if the Word is saying,
who better could tell about God than Jesus?
Than Jesus. If he says God had compassion, that tells me that guess what God has?
Compassion.
I mean, that's pretty, you drill it down pretty simple there. So, and I see where, as I said earlier, I honestly have always felt by the parable that's being taught here, that when that son left, God was watching for him. And the minute he saw him, he knew he was going to have compassion on that son.
Yeah. Well, it was his son. Mm-hmm. The start of this parable, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons.
Two sons, yep.
Now, they may have been dingbats. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You know, the smartest guys in the camp, you know. But
he had two sons.
Had two sons. It's kind of like, can I tell this sort of
hurt? You can,
like,
yeah.
You know, this guy had this old, you know, it was a pit bulldog named Rover. And he's so mean, they had to keep him in the pen.
Uh-huh.
And little boy, dad's out playing. He come down the field. I mean, he just trucking it, slinging his arms running. He said, Dad. Said, the preacher come seen us and said, he got in a pen with old Rover. Said, let's go, Dad. And they start running, you know, back toward the house.
Uh-huh.
Dad said, son, did old Rover bite him? He said, no, Dad, the preacher bit old Rover.
Oh, that's awesome.
But anyway, so he, you know, he had two sons, but Jesus is telling this, and he's telling about how God views someone, and this is so important, because if you say, well, I've never messed up, well, you know, there's a chance you will.
Yeah, that's a lie, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do, yep.
So, if you have to understand that what Jesus said, when God sees one of his children mess up,
He has compassion. Yep. And not just that, but I'm going to relate here to, and we've got about 3 minutes left, and I'm going to relate to a mediation of God the Father before we get into part three and letting you tell everybody what's coming up next. When God saw him, had compassion on him, and God ran, as you said, God runs in the Bible here. All right. God runs out to him. And let me find where I want to read this here. And had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Okay. Is that not a good analogy to what God did for us by sending Christ?
Mm-hmm.
That when we were dirty, nasty, in the muck, in the mire, sinful, he sent his son, his only begotten son, and he gave us life. And that's the lesson I think that can be taught here. So, folks, thank you for listening to part two. We've got so much more. It's going to get good, I'm telling you. I can tell by the look on Thurston's face. He's got a big grin from ear to ear, so I know it's going to be good. So, Thurston, tell us what we have coming up for the next segment of The Prodigal Son.
We're going to talk about God not only forgives you, man, this is key right here, but God restores you.
Oh, and that's the part I thought you were going to say.
He restores you.
Restoration. You know, there's people who spend a lot of money and time restoring old cars, old furniture, but we're going to talk about restoring your soul in the next podcast. So, folks, thank you for listening to part two. We'll hope you join us next week for part three. Share the podcast with someone. Let them know that you're listening. Go in and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast provider that you have. And just thank you for the support. Go to bearhiscross.com where you can learn more, subscribe to the email newsletter. And until next time, we will join you all here at Bear His Cross. Thank you for listening to Bear His Cross. You can find more information at bearhiscross.com. Also, we want to invite you to go to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast provider and leave us a rating so other people know about this podcast.